this week on The Bioneers.
We need to develop these communities that turn pain to power and turn pain to planting. I don't think you can heal from trauma alone. It is community that heals.
I'm Neil Harvey. This week we go from pain to power with feminist playwright Eve Ensler and permaculturalist Brock Dolman on The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature. Sacrifice zones. Some places in the world are seen as being so wounded, so rife with endless conflict, so saddled by the burdens of history, that the world writes them off as hopeless. Yet in the wound can lie the gift. There's little doubt that one of the world's most wounded places is Africa's Democratic Republic of Congo. Despite the DRC's long tortured history of colonialism, racism, and violence, today, courageous women and a few good men are healing the horrific wounds of war, exploitation, ecological destruction, and unimaginable violence against women. Women are coming together to heal in community and in the soil, and people around the world are reaching out to help. This is City of Joy, From Pain to Power, with playwright and feminist Eve Ensler and master permaculturalist Brock Dolman. My name is Neil Harvey. I'll be your host. Welcome to The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature. When famed feminist playwright and activist Eve Ensler got a call from the United Nations asking her to interview Dr. Denis Mukwege, she quickly understood why. The brave physician was on the front lines of abominable war crimes being perpetrated against women in Africa's Democratic Republic of Congo. Ensler was already internationally renowned for her global V-Day campaigns to stop violence against women. From Afghanistan to Bosnia and Haiti, Ensler, too, had put herself on the front lines. After all, worldwide, one out of three women is raped or beaten in her lifetime. At the time, she was just coming through her own life and death struggle with cancer. Her healing journey transformed her. At the heart of it was her reconnection with nature. She expanded her work to end violence against nature, as well as against women and girls. The UN sent Dr. Mukwege's resume. This doctor was risking his life to treat the traumatic effects of violence against women, violence being used on a mass scale as a deliberate tactic of war. She agreed to interview him, publicly, in New York City. Eve Ensler spoke at a Bioneers conference. Be forewarned, some of the following program contains descriptions of graphic violence and anatomy.
When I met Dr. Mukwege, I was completely undone, not only by the stories he told the night we did the interview at the NYU Law School, but by himself. He was one of the most noble, beautiful, true people I had met in maybe my whole life. Dr. Mukwege runs a hospital called the Panzi Hospital in Bukavu, Democratic Republic of Congo. He began his career in a little town called Lemera, where he was an OBGYN really fighting for maternal care. And he had opened this small clinic where he was treating women who were dying of childbirth. The war broke out, and the militias from Rwanda and Uganda and Burundi, who are all proxies for corporations and governments, come into the towns. And they're usually poor soldiers from all those countries who are making no money whatsoever, so they get hired at very ridiculous wages to be soldiers. They come into communities. They ransack houses, they rape women in front of their husbands, they force husbands to rape their daughters, they force sons to rape their mothers, they destroy the infrastructure of the community, and when the family is destroyed, they flee and they take over the mines. So it's a very cheap tactic of war that's been used. Dr. Mukwege discovered when he was at Lemera that there were women coming who at first, he seemed like they were just very extreme cases where there was total genital destruction. Women were being gang raped. Women were having plastic shoved inside them. Women were having horrible things done to their genitals. They were being eviscerated. And he realized it was a tactic of war. And then his clinic got burned down. They murdered most of his patients and most of his staff. And he spent 2 years recovering from that, trying to heal, and then he went out again and he built this amazing place called Pansy Hospital, which is an incredible institution today in Bukavu.
But very few were telling this story. Dr. Mukwege asked Eve Ensler for help. She agreed. When she traveled to the Congo in 2000, she met with Dr. Mukwege's colleague, Christine Schuller-Describer. Eve Ensler recalls the fateful meeting.
Her mother's Congolese and her father's Belgian, and she's lived in Congo her whole life. And she was an activist when I met her. She was running a huge organization, but she wasn't happy because she didn't feel like it was really grassroots enough and she wasn't doing what she wanted to be doing. And Dr. Mukwege actually brought us together, kind of forced us to be together, because I don't think Christine was very happy about it at the beginning. But then we fell in love. We both had a very similar allied missions and allied dreams. And she's just one of the most extraordinary people I've ever known. And she was my translator for 2 weeks. And we spent weeks and weeks listening to women. Women literally lined up outside Pansy Hospital, hundreds of women, because they wanted to tell someone what had happened. And I think the story so shattered me. But simultaneously, I also understood that it was where the confluence of colonialism, economic exploitation, rampant capitalism, desecration of the earth, and serious destruction of women's bodies and racism had all come together in one fiery cauldron. I knew that if we as a world movement didn't stop at that moment and do everything we could to serve the Congolese, that it would spread, it would give license to this kind of rampant destruction throughout the planet.
Eve Ensler learned the nation's traumatic history. The slave trade once ravaged and terrorized the population. In the 19th century, Belgium's infamous King Leopold murdered 10 million people, half the population, in pursuit of colonial fortunes made from rubber. Despite gaining its independence in 1960, the country remained a pawn of geopolitical power struggles over its wealth, sometimes called the resource curse. Propped up by Western interests, brutal dictatorships ruled with violence and terror. Beginning in the 1990s, the Congolese civil wars inflamed much of Africa, leading to millions more deaths, most of which were from disease, malnutrition, and unsanitary conditions. Today, the nation continues to be riven with violence and privation, and especially with extreme violence against women. Eve Ensler listened to women of Congo and responded to their needs. The Congolese women said they wanted a national movement that would allow them to come forward to tell their stories and break the silence. V-Day helped launch a campaign called Stop Raping Our Greatest Resource. They committed to hold accountable the perpetrators who had so far enjoyed complete impunity. Out of that campaign grew another vision: to provide a refuge for women and girls who were survivors of rape, where they could recover, heal, and become leaders in their communities.
What the women said they wanted more than anything was a place where they could heal, where they could learn, where they could transform their pain to power, and where they could become the next leaders who could transform the Congo and end the war and allow the Congo to be a place which was owned and determined by the Congolese, which has never happened in so many years and years and years of history. And what the women imagined and dreamed of was this place called City of Joy. It would be a place that they would own, that they would direct, that they would determine, and it would be theirs. Because so much of what happens in the Congo is imported from external NGOs and internationals. And what happens is the Congolese never feel that they can get anything that becomes theirs so that they can determine their own reality. And so my job on this side of the ocean was to get the word out, to write articles, to get attention, and to get resources. And we began to build City of Joy.
City of Joy was born as a transformational leadership community that would heal women from their past trauma through therapy and life skills training. The intent was to provide them with essential ingredients to move forward with their lives: love and community. Construction began in 2009 with, for the first time, Congolese women involved as construction workers. The challenges were forbidding in the war-torn chaos: damaged roads, limited access to electricity and water, and the omnipresent threat of violence. But the women persevered, and 2 years later, in 2011, the City of Joy threw open its doors to the first class of 90 women for training and therapy.
The team at City of Joy is the most beautiful group of mamas who nurture people, who heal people, who teach people their rights. The whole first section of the time that people spend at City of Joy is therapy, and they undergo very profound therapy, but all of it is collective and communal. It involves art, it involves dancing, it involves music, it involves theater. And some of the experiences I've had where I've been able to sit in on those groups, it's some of the most powerful community-based loving therapy I've ever seen. And dance and joy is a huge part of what's happening there. Women also learn self-defense. They learn sexual education. Dr. McGuigan and I had one thing in common when we met, which is our devotion to vaginas and our desire to heal and see them be cherished and loved in the world. So it's amazing to see a program at City of Joy where women are taught to look at their vaginas, to love their vaginas, and to protect their vaginas, and to know that they have agency over their vaginas. And what's, I think, so moving to me about it is that women arrive at City of Joy, they have bullet wounds in their heads, they often don't have their genitals intact, they have nightmares every night. You can just hear women screaming all through the night when they first come because they're so traumatized. They often leave children at home who are the products of rape, who they've actually come to City of Joy to learn how to love them because obviously their children have the face of their rapists. And to watch women who give themselves so profoundly to this process of healing, transformation, education, they go from victims to survivors to leaders. And it happens over the 6 months they're there. And you can literally watch this evolutionary process occurring. When they graduate, they leave City of Joy with $100 and a cell phone. $100 is a lot of money in the Congo. And that money seeds whatever projects they want to begin, and many of them are communal projects. Like a woman named Jackie, for example, who came because her child was a child of rape, and she couldn't stand her child, and she wanted to kill her child. She ended up not only falling in love with her child, who she is completely devoted to today, but she started a collective for 250 people who are now living off the land and living well. And she started that with her $100. Other women have started farms. Other women have gone back to school. Some women have become people who do medicine with herbs. Some people have stood up to the government. It is extraordinary just looking at who women have become after they left City of Joy. I have to say, when the governor saw the City of Joy, for the first time, he broke down crying. And he said to me, "This is the first time any people ever just gave something to us for us." And it was a very moving moment, and I'm very proud of that, you know?
Something to us, for us. From victims to survivors to community leaders with $100 and a cell phone. When we return, the story of how the City of Joy birthed the V World Farm, a 700-acre regenerative agricultural cooperative that provides women with training in agriculture and permaculture skills and grows nourishing crops for City of Joy residents. This is City of Joy, from pain to power. I'm Neil Harvey. You're listening to The Bioneers, revolution from the heart of nature. To explore more Bioneers radio shows, video programming, and audio extras with Eve Ensler, please visit bioneers.org. And our thanks for the generous support from listeners like you. Just as nature helped Eve Ensler heal from cancer, the land became a healing force for the women of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. 20 kilometers south of the Panzi Clinic in Bukavu, lies some of the most fertile land in the world. V-Day and the 11th Hour Project worked with City of Joy participants to create V-World Farm.
When I first went there, I went, oh my God, this is the Garden of Eden. I mean, you see the earth in her most pristine condition, like what the earth has to offer, you know, and it's everything. There isn't a thing that can't grow there. I just thought this will be the most extraordinary thing if we can create a place where women can turn their trauma into planting, turn their pain into life, turn their rape into raising up crops. I mean, this is how we turn the world over and we turn the world around. And not only is the process so restorative when you grow things and put your hand in the land and you're outside with the mother, but it's also a way of returning women back to the land from which they've been removed in the entire history of the Congo. You know, the Congo's never belonged to the Congolese, and now it's theirs, and this land is theirs.
As the group considered how best to cultivate V-World Farm, they decided to focus on permaculture, a sophisticated system of regenerative agriculture, design, and participatory community building. To collaboratively design the 700-acre landscape, they engage master permaculturalist Brock Dolman of the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center in Sonoma County, California. Even among innovators in permaculture design and watershed management, Dolman is recognized as a wildly creative thinker and practitioner. He's worked globally with government agencies, universities, and organizations on diverse ecological issues and land use planning. The essence of his work revolves around working with nature to heal nature, building vitality and resilience. Brock Dolman traveled to Bukavu with the center's executive director Dave Henson and staffer Lisa Mekas to help create a vision for the V-World Farm and to support the City of Joy community in their actualization of what he calls biocultural resilience.
Our task was to show up and listen and be there in service to the aspirations, the visions, the goals of the Congolese people, the Congolese women, because they know how to grow food, they know how to be on land. What is needed is peace and security and the capacity to return to right livelihood and place. And the fact that City of Joy is there and V-World as a container to allow that to happen, they knew what they wanted and how to go for it. So our task was really to show up with this idea of permaculture, and it's really a design methodology for creating regenerative human settlement systems based on natural patterns and processes, if you will. So we're really interested in human systems. The idea of regenerative, it's not just sustainable, but you have to regenerate. They get the perfect amount of rain every month. There's no frost. The soils are volcanic and black and incredible, and you could not imagine a place that would look like the Garden of Eden that Eve was locked out of and was actually liberating us to get back to in the narrative from this is the place. This, talk about, and you could literally grow apples and mangoes there. It's the temperate zone and the subtropics and tropics coming together, it's amazing. So as you look over that corn down into that beautiful, flat, wet valley bottom, it's a big, wide, wet bottom that has a curve like that to it, and it just seemed to me to be perfect for V-Day. It was just wet and fat and juicy.
It's so
and
true.
It was just a big 700-acre Gaia vagina. It was the perfect landscape. It had these labial ridges, which we'll see that ring it.
It's
totally true.
So.
As a topophiliac, I can tell you it was completely amazing. And so there's the beautiful slopes with dry land and differential stuff, and then down in the bottom, this amazing property. Then there were these pre-existing fish ponds and aquaculture ponds, tilapia ponds that were there. And those ponds have been worked on and redug and reshaped and actually have already been being productive and producing high-quality protein in the form of fish, which is a fast turnover there. And so the opportunity of networking pigs and pig waste going to biogas to make methane to run the operation, and then that post-biogas material anaerobically digested can go in as fish food, and then the fish process water gets to go into the rice paddies, is this incredible opportunity for an integrated system. So we talked and looked and interviewed and witnessed and were wowed and spent a lot of time, and then we had brought big maps with us and just started drawing and making these crazy maps. And it's like, well, okay, maybe there's wind here, there's water power, there, where would the pigs go? Where's the new road needed? Well, what do you want? What's this? So there's a lot of that creative brainstorming and bantering and going back and forth as a design process, as a process of observing and witnessing and assessing and doing analyses of sector, sun and wind and water and flow and soils and access and adjacencies and all of these factors that are there. So what do you got? And then what do you want? And bringing what do you got and what do you want together in a design. Ultimately, it's really the deep probiotic perspective and working on behalf of creating conditions conducive for community on this planet that got us to Congo.
Ecologists say the surest way to heal an ecosystem is to connect it to more of itself. The same resilience that Brock Dolman sought to create in the landscape, he saw reflected in the lives of the Congolese people.
The desecration and destruction of place and people, the Congo's just a quintessential story of a story that's been wrought all over the planet and one who's traveled to lots of other places like that. So the Gaianist in me, which is where I come from as a Gaia-centric biologist, to be there and be present and actually have women tell us stories that are unrepeatable, unspeakable of what happened to them and their family, and then simultaneously be singing and dancing and joyous and planting and present, and the resiliency of the human spirit in the face of complete unthinkable adversity is, there's something heartening to me. And that as a biologist, as a restoration ecologist, I intrinsically have that belief in ecosystems, in the planet, in life. I never lack the capacity to be astounded. If you give Gaia a little go, if you back off, if you love her up, you slow a little water down, you help some trees, the regenerative capacity of the living planet is amazing. A little help goes a long way. As an ecologist, I got that, but I had never been around people who I saw the level of a clear cut, if you will, analogously to a reforestation within their psyche and their emotional somatic selves to find healing in the face of it and not be in denial of it and then choosing to be a survivor instead of a victim. And the resiliency of the Congolese people to show that right relationship, that reverential relationship, is as powerful a case study as there is on the planet today.
Brock Dolman. Once again, Eve Ensler.
I think that when you see something get built in the middle of chaos and anarchy, and, you know, it's like you drive down a road and suddenly there's the City of Joy. It's like, what is this place doing here? You know, it's like this stunningly, amazingly beautiful place. And I think people suddenly go, wow, it's possible. It is possible to unearth the garden in the midst of this other garden. You know, and it has to do with imagination. It has to do with solidarity. It has to do with service. It has to do with humility. It has to do with love. It has to do with love. That's what we're talking about. You know, somebody once said to me, well, don't the women want to stay there? They must not want to leave City of Joy. But I'll tell you something really interesting. The women want to leave City of Joy. A, because they want to, they're so desperate to share what they've learned. And B, they are so happy other women get to come. And that's because they've been loved. So they want to love somebody else. They don't want to say, I've got it for me now and I'm going to go get rich and now I'm going to go dominate my village because I have more information than they do. They go, oh my God, I get to share this and make my village better, and other women get to come after me who are going to then get to transform themselves so they can do the same.
City of Joy is a metaphor. It's a metaphor. I think we need to create cities of joys everywhere. There are no people on this planet who aren't traumatized. You either have primary trauma or you have secondary trauma, but we're all traumatized by what we witness every day, by what we don't stop every day, by what we feel powerless in the front of every day. And we need to develop these communities that turn pain to power and turn pain to planting and turn pain to dancing. But to really be in community, because I don't think you can heal from trauma alone. You can't tell your story and understand and be healed within your story, and it is community that heals.
Healing in community, hands in the soil. courageous women growing a world that transforms victims into survivors, pain into planting. Eve Ensler and Brock Dolman, City of Joy, From Pain to Power. You can see and hear more from Eve Ensler or explore more Bioneers radio shows and video programming online at bioneers.org. For information on attending the National Bioneers Conference and Bioneers events in your area, please visit bioneers.org or call 1-877-BIONEER. The Bioneers Revolution from the Heart of Nature is a production of Bioneers and Collective Heritage Institute. Executive producer Kenny Ossabell. Written by Kenny Ossabell. Senior producer, Neil Harvey. Managing producer, Stephanie Welch. Station relations, Anna Iglesias. Interview recording engineer, Jeff Westman. Our theme music is taken from the album Journey Between by Baca Beyond and used by permission of Hannibal Records, a Rykodisc label. Additional music was made available by Sounds True at soundstrue.com. For more music information, please visit bioneers.org. The opinions expressed in the Bioneers Revolution from the Heart of Nature radio series are those of the presenters and are not necessarily those of Bioneers and Collective Heritage Institute, the underwriters, or this radio station. My name is Neil Harvey. Thank you for listening. I invite you to join the Bioneers in inspiring a shift to live on Earth in ways that honor the web of life, each other, and future generations. This is program number 0315.
This program was made possible in part by Organic Valley's pasture-raised organic dairy products, bringing the good from our family farmers to your table at organicvalley.coop. Mary's Gone Crackers, inspired by a conscious approach to eating, organic, gluten-free, and non-GMO products since 2004 at marysgonecrackers.com. Funding also provided by a grant from the Park Foundation, dedicated to heightening public awareness of critical issues, and by the generous support of listeners like you.